when you look at these people, you realize that they look so normal and so ordinary, but they're the people who have caused others a tremendous amount of pain and grief that really cannot be solved.
That's Pastor Willie Dengler. He's talking about murderers, rapists, armed robbers. He's talking about the prisoners of some of South Africa's most notorious prisons. And he's talking to me, in the car, on the way to meet some of them.
So, I'm sitting on my bed the night before we visit our first prison in Johannesburg. I've never been inside a prison before. I'm not really sure what to expect. I've been feeling pretty anxious about it. Probably because I'm not really sure I'll know what to say and whether I'll be able to look them in the eye.
As it turns out, being able to look the prisoners in the eye was not something I needed to worry about.
Any tips for a first-time prison visitor?
Number one, you be friendly to all the... Just greet them. Good morning to all the officials and inmates. Greeting in the African culture is very... It's a cordial way of establishing rapport, and it's expected of all of us. Number two, don't make, as a lady, don't make eye contact with these inmates. You can look at them, but don't stare or make contact, because they'll try to make eye contact with you.
So I went to South Africa with Bible Society to visit some Bible projects that Australian donors have supported over a few years. When I'm talking to Pastor Willie, I've been in South Africa for over a week, and I visited schools mainly, where Bible Society has been starting literacy classes to supplement a poorly resourced school system. Super cute kids clambered around my camera, desperate for their photos to be taken and to see themselves in the viewfinder. Feel good stuff, you know. But now we're in Johannesburg, and the morning of my first prison visit, I meet Pastor Willie in his church office. I'm part of a team of six from Pastor Willie's ministry, World Hope, visiting Johannesburg Correctional Centre. Before we leave, my outfit is inspected. And by inspected, I'm asked to do a 360 in the room in front of everyone. I'm wearing black work pants and a cotton shirt that goes right up to my neckline. It's conservative. I don't want to stand out. But apparently it's still not appropriate. I'm told my shirt isn't long enough and draws attention to my butt. Not something you want when you'll be one of two women among about 1,000 men who've been locked up for years. So I'm given an oversized shirt to put on, and it's suggested I tie my jacket around my waist too. It's not my most encouraging moment, and I'm feeling even more nervous now. Pastor Willie gives us instructions, like we're about to enter an animal enclosure at the zoo.
Just be aware at all times, as you look around, that you're standing out of the crowd. You're standing with one of us, I suppose, or you're next to a guard. Coming in for the first time, I would just take a deep breath, say thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Don't look surprised and don't look shocked. It's not that bad inside this prison, but not the place I'd like to spend another day. And if you get emotional, well, that's okay. It's your moment. It's all right.
Does that happen a lot?
Yep. And we do have family, as we say, inside. And we're pretty happy with that. We don't go into a situation which is totally devoid of our Christian faith. And so you should feel at home after a few minutes.
Pastor Willie's right. I do find brothers on the inside.
You are going there before next week, and you will be in Australia before you can wake up tomorrow morning. Amen. Hallelujah.
Inside Johannesburg Correction Centre, we're taken into the medium security block. It's called Medium B. It is a sea of bright orange jumpsuits stamped 100 times over with one word, corrections. One prisoner actually has the words, "I'm in a zoo," scrawled across his back in thick black marker. We're led through concrete halls that smell like urine. Shouting voices echo everywhere. Guys with mop buckets move systematically in and out of the hallway, wiping down cells we've been told we're not allowed to take photos of. The hallway opens out to a large courtyard. hemmed in on all sides by three stories of brickwork, topped by another story of barbed wire fencing. No one's getting over that. The courtyard is full, I mean full, of African men. Some are playing soccer in the dirt. Some are dunking sheets in garbage bins full of brown water. They wring them out, creating muddy pools in the dirt, and then hang them on the second or third floors, at any window they can find. Most are hanging out in groups in the sun. For a few hours a day, it's the only sky they'll see. We're ushered into a concrete hall, right off the main courtyard. But immediately, something feels different. I was on edge outside, but here feels friendlier. There's still men everywhere, but they're waiting for something. And then they start to sing. They're singing worship songs in Zulu. One man's voice rises above the others, in praise of God, in a concrete hall, in the middle of a prison.
My name is Charles Sadiki. I stay in Soweto, and I'm an ex-offender that was in Johannesburg prison, and therefore an armed robbery, whereby I was sentenced to 16 years in prison. Then, by the grace of God, I did manage to spend 10 years there in prison. In prison, life is not so easy, especially if you don't know why God has created you to be and the way are you going, then you'll be living a life which is a prison life. So being there in prison, I started to be in gangsterism, whereby I was also doing the things of gangsterism. But it happened that one day, as God discharged me, I managed to change from that kind of a life and I got saved there in prison.
Charles tells me he started his prison life by getting involved in a gang. When we're in the prison courtyard, he points out some of the larger groups clustering in the corners. There's the gang that's well known if you're looking for sex. There's the one if you need to get something smuggled in from the outside. Over there, that's known for breaking body parts.
One thing that makes me to take a decision and it came out from that things of gangsterism, that was after I heard another preacher. He came there to prison. He was preaching in the book of Hebrews, and he says, today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, you must not harden your heart.
The minister called people up to the front if they wanted to change their lives. And in that moment, that's what Charles wanted. So he went up, and he never looked back.
I went and I surrendered my life unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I became a Christian from that day. The first Bible that I received when I was there in prison, it was a small good news that was coming from Bible Society. My comfort was only like David when he said, I become comforted only through the word of God.
Okay, let's remember, it's not easy to be a Christian in prison. The people who are worshipping here in the concrete hall seem happy. They're there for fellowship and to praise God. Some of the guards are even with them, like brothers, all singing and praying together. But this same prison has had enormous problems. It has a terrible rep. Johannesburg BDMB was in the news recently when guards allowed several strippers into the prison to entertain the inmates. Doesn't sound too bad for the prisoners, I guess. But like, really? Who let that happen? Other news reports suggest prisoners go 20 hours between meals. There's violence, drugs, and the gangs that Charles were once a part of still exist, even if he's not in them anymore. Charles had to dodge all of that for 10 years. He did that in part by keeping his head down and finding new friends.
We established a church here in prison. Then I was also part of the leadership. Then from there, they chose me to be a facilitator, to facilitate the courses in prison.
The courses Charles is talking about are run by Pastor Willie and World Hope Ministries. They're devotional in style. You read the Bible on your own or in a small group inside the prison and move through a workbook. There are several levels in the course and at the end, you graduate. That's why we're in the prison today. It's graduation day.
learned so much in this program. What I learned in my 6 courses is so much, many things that God is our Savior. We must always praise Him and know how to, if you are praying, if you want God to forgive you, you must first confess your sins to God and change. Yeah, must change.
That's Andrew. We've changed his name because he asked us to. Andrew graduated from the course today. I don't know how long he's been in prison for. I don't know what he's done. Today, none of that matters.
Is this the first Bible that you'll have? Again?
Yeah, it's my first Bible that I have it here in my hand.
And how much does it mean to you to have it?
It means a lot. God is the one who has planned my life. Maybe he planned that maybe I must change my life while I'm in prison. Because now I've sinned outside. Now in prison, I'm saving all those sins. God is protecting me. God has got my plans. So that's why I'm doing this course to change. And I wish I will continue outside to do all those things outside and encourage people so that they will follow our Heavenly Father.
Now, becoming a Christian can look really good on your parole case. You need to show remorse, that you've changed. What better way than to say you've found God and you've done a Bible course? And then once you're out, go back to living just as you wanted. No need to really become a Christian. Just write it on your parole application. For sure there are stories like that. But that's not the story Andrew's eyes were telling me while he spoke. He was on fire. He was searching for more that God could teach him. And that's also not the story for thousands of other prisoners who've done the devotional courses over many years, who've received their first Bibles and allowed God to change them. And that wasn't the story for Charles, the guy who was in the gangs. He was released from Johannesburg Medium B in 2010, but he's been going back in several times a week to run the devotional courses and teach people about God. Back inside, to a place where he was imprisoned for a decade, to a place he couldn't get out of. And now that he can go anywhere he likes, he's been visiting prisons for almost as long as he was a prisoner.
What pushes me to go back in is like what God has done unto Moses. When he sent him back to his own people there to go and fetch his people in Egypt, meaning that the same place where I was, I felt and I developed a passion that, you know, the things that I get inside the prison, also, if I can only have one soul that can change and be like what I am today, then really I can praise God for that.
One of the other prisons Charles visits is called Modibe Prison, just outside of Johannesburg. He took us there to visit too, which is where I met Sifiso. We're led into another courtyard. It's about 8 metres by 8 metres wide and the walls reach up into the sky, so high it blocks out most of the afternoon sun. There aren't many people in the courtyard when we arrive, but I hear voices a few stories up coming from the small barred windows. It's singing. Just one man to begin with, then two, then a chorus. It's a call to the Christian prisoners. Come outside to church. The singers spill out into the courtyard and I'm again surrounded by those bright orange jumpsuits. And that's when I hear Sifiso.
There is salvation in the name of Jesus. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. There is a healing in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, brothers.
Amen.
My name is Sifiso Lloyd Dladla. I'm here for I was a sinner. So they brought me here because I was a hijacker outside, a lying cheater, a womanizer. But for now they caught me for hijacking. I was a hijacker.
How long have you been here for?
Now it's 1 year, 8 months.
How long are you going to be here for?
No, the court, they sentenced me actually 20 years. When they sentenced me last year, my life was miserable, I was stressed. But there was someone who found me there and take me let's go to the church. And I go to church. When I go to church, there was a preacher who was preaching. He was opening the scripture of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, that, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And he opened up also the scripture of Jeremiah chapter 1, 4 to 5. It says, before I formed in the womb, I knew you. So I realized when the pastor was teaching there that it's not a mistake to be here on earth. Then I take the life from last year.
Sufiso is on crutches, but that doesn't stop him from bolting around the courtyard, rallying the men and hyping them up for worship. He is bouncing, like seriously jumping around on one leg, linking arms with the men and throwing his hands towards the sky. And then he grabs the microphone.
Go Jesus, go Jesus, go!
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 The Lord is good!
All the time!
All the time!
The Lord is good!
The Lord is good!
All the time!
All the time!
The Lord is good!
He's saying, the Lord is good all the time. All the time, the Lord is good. He's clinging on to that hope. He's believing it. It's all he's got.
My prayer for the inmates that are inside is to say they must not give up. Whatever God has started to do upon their life, he will accomplish it. So they must hold on unto the Lord, reading, start the weight of God, so that when they come out there from prison, then they will be able to show people who are outside here in the dying world that there is hope among the living. Because there is that intention of people who are outside here, that you know, people who are in prison, they are people who are being thrown in a place which is like a dustbin. But one thing that I've learned with my God is that there is not a dustbin of a human being, but God, he recycles our lives so that we'll be a better people that he can use in his own purposes. I've seen the guys, they develop a passion of doing course and also having that they want this, the Bibles. But as they receive the Bible from you guys, from Bible Society, these guys, they are so growing in the knowledge of knowing the Lord. And the, what I want to say to you guys, may God richly bless you and bless you exceedingly and abundantly above all what you can think or imagine, and keep on doing good work to us. I have seen and you have seen that it's working there behind the bars.
There's one word in every language that's the same. It's Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola.
It's hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. One more time.
Hallelujah.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Big thanks to the team at Eternity News and also to Bible Society Australia, who sent me on this trip to South Africa.